Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You're listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadija Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride.
Yeah. All right, our ride has a guest this week. Sid is joining us.
Hello.
Hi, Sid. Hey, guys.
Good to be back. Happy New Year. Haven't seen anyone but since Christmas New Year.
Hey guys, I was thinking about you because I just got done running and I started out in shorts and a light long sleeve, and then I got so hot I had to sports bra it, and I was thinking about all of you.
In the cold ass weather.
I was going to say, Sarah, have you been on, like, I'm guessing you're pretty snowed in where you are.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you're used to, like, I've spent far too long on a treadmill in the last 4 days.
Yeah, it's...
And a trainer, but I'm used to the trainer, but the treadmill I'm not used to. I'm like, oh God.
The other day I was out running and there were these snow squalls that were so bad that I couldn't see at all. Ended up wiping out on the sidewalk and going sliding into the road right in front of a car. Thankfully, they were going like barely faster than I was. They didn't slide when they hit the brakes, which was great because that could have been really bad. But they were like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm totally fine.
You're like, you I'm were. An Olympian. Yeah.
If you're in sliding, I'm an Olympic slider. Did you not?
Oh my gosh.
If you're running outside, then do you wear like the yak tracks or anything?
No. I mean, okay. it was just so much snow came down so quickly.
Yeah.
And like the temperature of the sidewalk was lower. So it just was like slick underneath. It was just the perfect confluence of
everything.
Oh, everything.
Hey, you guys, I got really hot today.
Stop,
I
was like,
oh,
Kelly.
I'm really dehydrated.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sid did it. I thought it, but she did it.
It's all right. It's a podcast. No, it's a podcast.
Nobody can see the gestures that people are making at me yet. But Jocelyn got to make her first snowman.
So I'm in Delaware and it's like cold enough that it is below freezing, but it hasn't really snowed since like my daughter was a newborn, which is when my parents, we all are from California, made snowmen. They were so excited.
Really?
But yeah, I took my daughter, who is obsessed with Elsa and Frozen, out in the backyard. And then it turns out our little Elsa does not like the snow. She put her princess dress on and she's like, I want to go back inside. My dress is getting dirty.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Oh, that's super cute.
Yeah.
But we made an Olaf and she was like, I want to go inside and just look at him from the window.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
She needs a styrofoam Olaf. It's been 6 years and counting since I've seen snow.
A melted Olaf. Yes. A summer Olaf. Summer Olaf.
You haven't seen snow in 6 years.
6 years. It has not snowed. It came up in my memories. It's been 6 years and counting since I've seen
snow. You haven't like gone places that have snow?
No, I'm not interested in it.
Who does that for fun? Some people do that for fun.
I mean, Khadija did go to Alaska to do an Ironman.
Yeah, so, that's why I was like, I feel like there was probably snow you could have seen if you wanted to.
There was no snow. There's tons of ice. Yeah, tons of ice.
There was snow when I went to Alaska in July. There was still snow.
Oh, really?
Like, you had to climb up, though. Like,
yeah, no. Just ice.
I mean, I love snow, and I love going to the snow if I'm dressed in full ski stuff and I have a set of skis on my feet. It's just not as much fun when I've decided to live in a winter climate as a triathlete.
I'm kind of like Jocelyn's daughter. If I went someplace where there was snow, I would be like by a picture window, sitting by the fire, watching the snow.
With a hot drink.
Yes. I did pull the yak tracks out. We talked about yak tracks, I think, last week.
And yeah, they're amazing.
Because I didn't know what they were. I was like the little spiky things you put on your shoes.
I actually find, like, I just wear trail shoes usually. Now, granted, that's what I usually do, like up in Truckee year.
I got a pair of yak tracks last year and they were amazing. Mm-hmm. So like running on the snow and stuff. Yeah. I also decided to do a race, which wasn't so amazing. An uphill snow running race. I should have put skins on and I should have definitely had poles with me, but decided I was like, no, I'm going to be running. I don't need poles. And then it was that steep that you're like hiking. And I'm like, yep, should have had poles.
That reminds me. So maybe this is the time for another day. My husband has decided. So ski-mo is going to be in the Olympics.
What is ski-mo?
Yeah, we had to do a lot of Googling this weekend while I explained it to him. Okay. But he has decided that this, because like, you know, Ireland could get a spot if they like, whatever. So now he's going all in on ski-mo. This is
ski-mo is brutal.
It is.
Brutal.
But he's quite a good cross-country skier.
Yes, what is ski-mo?
It's basically going uphill and downhill.
So you run up. Running.
Oh,
on skis.
Like mobiles?
No, like so you run uphill with skins. Uphill.
So you have skis on.
What are skins?
But you have on the you have skis on, but on the underneath of the ski is like a carpet fabric called a skin.
Uh-huh.
And you're only attached by the toe of your boot, so you have that flex to be able to like walk up the hill and run up the hill. And then the course will the course will depend, you know, some of it, like you have to kind of run up the hill with the skins on them. When you get to the top, you lock your boots down, you take the skins off and then you ski down or that sort of thing. And then, so it's timed efforts. It's a bit like, it could be a bit more.
So you probably have seen it because like recreationally, a lot of triathletes will do like laps at a ski resort where they'll like hike up early before the ski resort opens and then they'll ski down. Like that's the more the racing thing, though, because we watch videos, because he has to get really serious about this if he wants to, you know, race the world championships next year. The thing they're doing in the Olympics is like a 3-minute obstacle course on skis. Yeah. And it's like the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen.
So it's brutal because it's endurance, but it's like high intensity because you're like, and often your altitude. And the other thing, so I've done it a few times when I get to the top of the mountain, I'm like all like casual of like, lock your boots down, put another jacket on because you obviously get colder going down, take the skins off. And I don't know, it's 5 minutes for that section. Whereas these guys literally flick the skins off the bottom of their skis without even taking anything off. Like the skis are still on their boots, they're still on the ground and they're like kicking their legs and it's all, it's amazing.
If he wants to be an Olympian, he's going to have to learn to move faster.
Yeah.
Transitions. That's what, this was an extensive discussion this weekend.
Kelly is all in.
Well, they might need a woman to qualify because that's how you like the spots are going to be allocated by mixed relay. So I was like, well, guys, maybe. Anyway.
For Ireland.
This is the hot topic this weekend. But on our show today, we're going to discuss all the hot topics in the first half of our show. After the break, we are going to do how many controversies do we have? So many controversies. And then in the second half, we will move away from controversies and hear all about Khadija's support crewing for Ultraman Florida.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored Heal to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code RIDING, as in if we were riding, at aminoco.com/riding. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's Aminoco, aminoco.com/riding, and use the code RIDING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift.
All right, Kelly, I'd like to point out that we went from snow sports to hot topics.
Hot topics.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice transition.
Hot topic. Thank you. This is why, you know, I start saying this is why they pay me, but no, they don't. What hot topic would you like to start with, Sarah?
I explain everything because I have no idea what's happening in travel.
I want to hear about the tri-bike transport update.
I know. So you guys have an so I do have an update. So one of the athletes like emailed me a whole bunch of documents and a page. And here's the issue, right? So they got to Khadijah's.
Are the bikes still in a container going around the country?
Yeah, they are. So this was like to Khadijah's point.
Have the air tags all run out of battery?
Yeah, pretty much. So like, so what happened was they got a, they reached a settlement, like they got a temporary restraining order in North Carolina, right? And the judge said like, turn, you can't sell these people's bikes. Like your argument isn't with them. Your argument's with Tribe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like on the way to get their bikes. And the company moved them, right? And the company is like doing the whole thing where they're like, no, no, no. You know how all those companies have different names? They're like, no, no, no. You had an agreement with this other company. That's not us. We're this other company with a different name. But you know how that's like.
And these are not really your bikes. They're other people's bikes.
So they moved the bikes. Basically, like, what's the saying? Like, possession is 5/10 of the law. 5/10. Nice. Five, you know what I mean?
Nine tenths, isn't it?
Nine tenths. Yeah. 5/10 does not make sense. Yeah. And so then they moved, them to LA, but then the TRO was only in New Jersey. And then the group has filed a class action, but the class action, like they haven't even gotten certified as a class yet. So that's like stalled. And then the Tri-Bike was trying to reach a settlement agreement on the debt, but the guys like don't want, they're like, no, basically, like, no, give us our money, like, no. No mediation, you know? And then the group of athletes don't have a lawyer in California yet. So they like don't know what to do with the, because now there's like the shipping company opened a case in California and has the bikes in LA.
So you
California.
Have to get a lawyer in every state that they move
well,
to.
Well, no, they would have to be like certified. What's the word?
Licensed. If they don't have reciprocity in that particular state, they have to.
Why is
Well, because California doesn't recognize North Carolina law.
We could go down a whole thing of U.S. politics here.
Yeah, let that part go.
I know a good immigration a lawyer in California.
In different states. It's like,
So it's like how the England has different laws than France, all right?
No, it's not at all.
It's exactly like But she just told me today, and then they did tell some people they could pay $2,000 and get their bike back. Like the shipping company was like, pay us directly and you can get your bike.
Yeah, that's what some people are doing.
Some people went and like paid the $2,000 and signed like all the releases, right?
Because
like
for
all...
some people, that's probably nothing.
Well, they're also like, fuck, I want my $10,000 bike back.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the best case scenario at this point with all those legal cases is like, they're not even going to get started till like March. You know what I mean? So anyway, but then she sent me today that they have gotten an update that negotiations, they are like, are proceeding to reach a settlement agreement between Tribike and the shipping company and then release the bikes.
So the people that, so people have paid the $2,000 and gone and have got their bikes or have just started that process?
Some have started it. I don't think anybody's received their bike yet that I'm aware of.
Because would they then be hoping if that's just the, that's the quick, easy method and then like try and reclaim the $2,000 at a later
date?
Kind of
they're not seeing that $2,000 back.
No, I know they're not, but I don't know if they're kind of thinking of like, it's better just to get the bike back and then try
they're
and
like,
reclaim
take my money.
Yeah.
But apparently the update from like their lawyer who's trying to negotiate a settlement, right? Like they're trying, like the shipping company, they're trying to negotiate a debt settlement between the shipping company and Tribike so that like they can get their bikes back. And so that's like, seems like that might be moving forward, but apparently it'll basically be like, okay, you can come to the shipping container in like the outskirts of LA and get your bike. Like they're not going to cover like getting the bikes back to people.
Yeah, you have
so
to ship
I don't
it
know.
To your,
like,
you have to ship it to yourself. Where
so you're not going to ship it?
Are
you?
Yeah.
You're not going to ship it, so you're going to have to travel there and then pack it on a plane. Which
depending
is why
on where you live, $2,000 is a bargain.
And that's why everyone used Tribike in the first place because they're like traveling with a bike on a plane.
I think I can work something out. If you are in this situation and you need someone to go to LA and get your bike, you let me know and I will rent a truck.
I smell a business opportunity.
There's a business opportunity here.
And you'll deliver the bikes to their local bike store. Okay.
Right. I tell you what, you just call me Triathlon Bike Transportation.
And you can do it for $1,900.
Yeah. No. That's the update. But I did feel like bad for them with the legal system. I was like about to email a friend of mine who like, yeah, is a lawyer down in LA and be like, can you figure this out? Because they were just getting the runaround. Yeah.
Nobody's going to end up happy when this is all over except the lawyers. Nobody else
is
getting
money.
Well,
the shipping company will probably get their money.
They'll get their money, but look how much work they had to do for it. How much, if you break it down per hour, how much effort have they had to put into shipping bikes all over the country? Those, they've moved those bikes at least 7 times.
Yeah.
That's not cheap.
I mean, I think they, in all fairness, I think they were all moving in a westward direction, each of those times.
It just got like hooked onto a choo-choo train.
with the wind. Yeah. They were being carried by the snowstorm.
Yes. Yeah, so... And it is weird. Obviously I liked Tribike. I used it. I didn't realize how many people though are just kind of like, well, I'm not going to travel at all if there is no Tribike. Like they don't want to fly with their bike. They don't want to like, they just are like, screw it. I will only do races I can drive.
There are some people who, I know somebody who's like that. I've known him to drive up to 10 hours because he didn't want to take his bike apart. They thought I was nuts. They're like, you take your bike apart? Yes. And then I
just take it to the bike shop. But if you don't, even if you don't want to do that bit yourself,
yeah,
take it to the bike shop, get them to pack it, take it on the plane, get another bike shop at the other end to build it. I mean, that's...
People apparently literally, like Sarah, this is true. She like looked like unbelievable. People literally are like not going to race next year. Because like,
I mean, this is what I was saying when I retired from like racing elite, like in 2011, I was like, I'm never going to fly with my bike again because it's such a pain in the ass. I know
but you
how to
like
do
knew
it.
How.
I did
you
know how.
It's annoying. Don't get me wrong. It's annoying and it's expensive. But I feel like understanding how your bike fits together and how you can take it apart, these are really important things, like as a bike owner. I don't know. It feels pretty basic, maybe.
They don't trust, like, the airline baggage handlers is, like,
totally
the problem.
And I get that.
Totally.
Like,
totally.
That is a totally, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
but if it's a matter of just, like, basic knowledge, I feel that that is something that can be covered. And it's not as intimidating as people think. So if you're listening to this, you're like, I'm not going to go to a race because I don't know how to build my bike. Like, we can... I will talk you through it.
I was going to say, I'll do a video when I fly in a couple
video.
Of weeks. Yeah.
Call us. We've got
and
your then, back. We will talk you
so
through it.
There's so many types of cases now where you can...
Right.
To your, say, you can get the case that suits your ability and your level of confidence and breaking your... I'm more... Like my road bike, I can break it down to, you know, single pieces and I don't have a problem. My tri bike, because of the cockpit, I'm a little bit more, you know, careful with it. But it's can't limit your life like that.
That's it. Right. There's different boxes, different cases which help with that. Or again, a local bike shop is normally pretty good and happy to take some money to break your bike down and build it up again. Yeah.
We are, in all fairness, we are thinking, like Khadija had suggested it, and I like it's on my plan for this year. Doing like a series through Feisty, like a video series on like different mechanic things.
Yeah, just
so maybe we'll
the
start
basics.
With yeah, maybe we'll start with how to pack your bike.
And we'll send it to Khadija's next date because the guy who didn't know how to change a flat.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Did
we'll
not get like date number two.
Done. I was like,
done.
Excuse me. You know what, baby? Let me help you with this tire. Ghosted.
Do you guys have second date update on the radio, or is that like just a California thing?
What is second date update?
Oh my god. Okay, so I was telling old Sarah about this. Second date update is where like somebody calls in and is like, I thought the date went great. It was so nice, but then I've been ghosted. And then they call that person up and are like, why did you ghost this person?
They do that in Colorado. And it was one of the reasons I stopped listening
like
to the radio.
Because it's really cringy. And it like clearly.
So cringy.
It, like,
if they did that in Atlanta, oh my God.
Well, it like clearly hasn't like aged well. Like it's also like very clearly not in like 2020, right? Like read the room, like women. And so it's really funny right here because women are basically like, I don't owe you an explanation. Fuck. And you're like, oh. Anyway, that's what that made me think of. Second date update. And they would call and see Khadija. He would call in and he'd be like, I thought it went great. And then you would get on the phone and they would put him on mute because that's what always happens. They put him on mute and he's there. And you would be like, he didn't even know how to change a flat. And then he would get on and be like, I thought I was, you know, they always like have some long explanation.
You're not that cute.
Is it a bad thing that I swipe left if I don't like the look of their dog?
There you go. Yeah, see, that could be your reason. Harsh. The reason this morning when I was driving to swimming was because she didn't want to go on a second date with him because he sat on the same side of the booth as her. And that's just weird.
What, when they went out for dinner?
Yeah, and he like insisted on sitting on the same side.
Oh,
yeah.
Instead of like face to
opposite.
Face. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
She was like, we just
you can't really have a conversation like that.
Yeah. No.
He was like, oh, but it'll look so cute. Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm with her on this. What? Yeah.
On Instagram.
Anyway. All right. That was our first drama. What is our second drama? Our second piece of drama is, and this is the Khadija has to explain this one, is the USAT new memberships. For people who are going to Worlds. Khadija's making a face.
The $400 level.
So what's the deal? You have heard this
right.
One.
Okay, sorry. You're not a member of USAT. So USAT changed its memberships. So they changed their memberships. The one days like changed price a little bit, whatever. The
Can I interject there? That's really annoying when you have to pay. You have a triathlon membership and then for every different country, you have to buy a one day.
Yeah, it's
license.
The same. It happens to us.
Anyway.
When we
I know it happens to everyone. I'm just saying it's really annoying.
Well, that's not the drama today, Sid. Okay.
Sorry.
So they changed memberships. They upped the regular annual a little bit. They made like a premium annual for like $100. But the big deal is they made like a VIP membership for $400 a year. And that's where the drama is, right? Yeah. Khadija, now you can take it away.
If you qualify for the age group Team USA, you are required to buy the quote unquote platinum membership. So you could either buy a platinum membership and get all of the benefits that a person who qualified for Team USA gets, and the person who races, trains and races to qualify, has to pay the exact same amount. So I got an email. I was kind of confused. I knew that they were doing this price structure. I was like, yeah. Oh, that's nice. They have this little price structure. Oh, Nirvana, just like Iron Man. Then I got an email that says, you can use your, because we pay a fee for the mechanic and for the masseuse mm-hmm. that's going to be at the at Team USA. They're like, oh, you can take your $100 Team USA membership fee and upgrade to platinum. It didn't even say you can. It said, click here now. It wasn't even like a you can or may you please or mama, mama, baby, baby, please, please, please. It was like, click here now. So I got a text message from one of my friends. She's like, are you on this call? I was like, no, I don't have anything on my calendar. I was like, I got a podcast in a little bit. I'll talk.
Yeah, they made a town hall. They had a town hall this afternoon because people were so upset.
People were talking about legal. We're going to sue you, this, that, and the other. And I'm sitting here like, I was like, no, I'm not, Khadija's not doing all that.
So you have a basic, membership, and then what's the next level up? What does that give you extra?
Gold,
is it insurance thing or something?
What is it? Regular, it's gold like a and platinum or something?
Yeah, there's like the regular is just like whatever we all had before. The like $100 one, which is like gold or something. I mean, it has like, whatever. There's a
some
welcome
stupid
gift.
Pool buoy that says
that's
USA
fine.
Triathlon.
Ooh. Yeah, that everyone already has.
Okay, whatever.
Or you can borrow
it's the like pool. You get like the magazine and like a swim buoy and go, and then like some other discounts, whatever. That's the $100 one. Fine. But that's still an option, or that's still like you can choose or not choose. The point is, there's this $400 one, which when they presented this at Endurance Exchange, I thought, when they said it was going to be for Team USA athletes, Khadija, I thought it would be like, oh, you pay $400, but that comes with your fee for the mechanic and your kit for, right? Like, I was like, oh, you'll pay your $400, but it'll even out because you're like, get the things that you had to buy before. But now it's like, apparently to race at Worlds on Team USA, you have to have this like platinum member, $400 membership. And then you also, and it comes with like $100 credit towards the other things, but whatever. And then you also have to buy your kit still, right? Your like Team USA kit. So it like,
so what is it? Is it to come
and
drive back?
That's a whole nother drama for me. Because all my kits are custom. That don't even get me started on that.
Oh, sure,
and then the parade kit is, and I don't, anybody, wear what you want to wear. If you want to wear a string bikini, knock yourself out. The parade kit is booty shorts and a short sleeve shirt. And they tell me that I have to buy this. I sent them an Instagram earlier this, about 3 weeks ago. I said, look, I have 4 sets of booty shorts and t-shirts that still have the tags on them. Can I just please get a long sleeve shirt and some sweatpants, please?
Long sleeve shirt. What are booty, I know what booty shorts are, but like, what I think of as booty shorts, I do not imagine USAT is selling people. So now I want to know what we're talking about.
Okay, you know the run shorts that the little tiny run shorts we call them booty shorts because half of your butt cheeks are hanging out the bottom.
They sell
that's
them?
What they expect.
That's your uniform?
That's supposed to be the parade kit.
That's the parade kit?
Yeah. I even had one time they were like, you don't have on the parade kit. I was like, you know what? I'm good on the parade. I'll see you when you get back.
You guys need to speak to Tess Howard in the UK, who's just redone a massive reform about female uniforms.
Well, no, I've seen the pictures of the parade kit and everyone, and I did not see everybody wearing, and I know what shorts you're talking about because I have some for like running races.
Yeah,
but
that's fine.
But I don't remember people wearing them. So this is why, but really what's pissing people off, to be totally fair, is that Khadija's already qualified, right? She's already registered and paid her like whatever the deposit fee was. And now they're telling people, at least this is my understanding, this is like the message people have got, they're telling people you have to upgrade.
Yeah.
So that's why everyone's really upset.
Yep.
So and what are they saying you get for the, is it to cover insurance? So like I said, is it to cover tri-bike transport? Or is
it's to cover,
like...
it's to cover more money. Yeah, because all the stuff, the stuff that they're talking about, the masseuse and
paid.
The bike mechanic, we already had all of that.
But was it paid, like...
Yes.
Yeah. It's like if you didn't have to pay.
Or is this any age? It's any.
This is any age group world. If you didn't have, like, if you had to pay a fee for the mechanic before, and now it's just rolled in, it'd be like, okay, sure, that's like whatever, right? Like, that's where I'm like, yeah. I understand why they did this like tiered system, and I like got it. It just like clearly, I assumed, and I think a lot of people assumed, like Khadija, like you saw, right? I think a lot of people would originally assume it would just like roll the things together, like.
Or if you're qualifying for Team USA, you're going out there, you're representing the country. We shouldn't have to pay extra. If it's a value for a Team USA athlete, you race your butt off, you earn your spot, you pay your $100 for the masseuse and the mechanics, and we should be upgraded automatically, not charged an extra $300.
But we all like complain about how expensive it is to race, you know, Ironman or race entry fees, and yet Olympic distance, sprint distance, age group worlds, even long course for age group worlds, it's all about the representation and getting more people into the sport, yeah, and making sport accessible. Yeah. So why are we then smacking?
In all fairness, I don't think any of the people qualifying for Team USA and flying to Spain are the ones that we're concerned about in terms of like the entry level accessibility. Those are like different.
Yeah, okay, but it doesn't help,
right?
Doesn't help either. Like when I agree, like it should be an honor to have got to that stage. But then I remember like when I wanted to represent Britain at European long course championships, they were expecting me to pay race entry fee, and it was a challenge race. So it's like, I get that for free kind of thing because of my license. And I had to buy my own kit, and I had to, yeah, and that was on a, and then the restrictions on what kit you could have was so limiting. Yeah. And then they gave us all like the swim back kit, and I'm like, I'm doing a 10-hour event and you're giving me a swimsuit costume, like it's not gonna work. This isn't
I mean, I actually from a marketing and like customer product standpoint, which I know is not like what people want to hear, like I totally actually understand why they would make a higher end product for their people who are their like high-end.
But they're not being transparent.
But they should have communicated directly to them, right? Like, if this is your like high touch, super passionate core audience,
yeah,
then you should have done like a special call for them to start, right? Like, you should have really communicated with them.
Well, that, and now they're covering their butts with this town hall that started like 2 hours ago tonight.
Maybe they should have done like the town hall and a survey of their customers
before rolling
they
it out.
Changes. But I mean, that's classic. Like, the same, yeah. I mean, so many organizations do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So for next week, if anybody was on the town hall, please leave us a voicemail because we want to hear about it.
Yes. All right. We're going to take an ad break because the first two pieces of drama took so long. And then when we come back, we'll go to our last piece. All right. All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again. And I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with one water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year. And I used TryHard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. TryHard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of TryHard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try TryHard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the TryHard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co.
Chasing Epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women.
I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
Apparently, Sarah doesn't spend all of her days on slow twitch, is what I got from our pre-episode call.
Who spends all their days on slow twitch? I certainly don't either. I just get it sent to me and told that it's all on slow twitch.
I hear it from your newsletter, Kelly.
So Sarah missed the fact that the PTO, right? Like, they were supposed to announce races. I think we all know, or we've all heard, that races are coming. Like, there's definitely a tour that's about to be announced. And so it's like athletes have signed contracts. Word is leaking out.
6 to 7 races this year.
So, like, word is leaking out because contracts are signed. But
what are the locations, Jocelyn?
Nobody knows yet.
That's the thing.
Why it's funny is that they haven't announced it. Super secret. The PTO is being really secret. I won't tell you what. They accidentally updated their website, so their menu dropdown had one of the events.
Secret location.
Oh, just one of the events?
Yeah.
One of the ones.
It's the one event that we were like, this is top secret. Can't say anything. This is the one that's really like important. And then the next day I'm like, go.
And then that's why it was all over Slow Twitch. Because Twitch just sits on the
Las Vegas.
Vegas.
I do Las Vegas.
You do Vegas? Okay. That makes sense, right?
The faux pas was that the date was the same weekend as Ibiza.
Right. So there's no way that's possible the dates were, but the point is, the slow twitch crap apparently was just like waiting on the PTO website. And
I'm sure they have someone that's like, just refresh, waiting for a faux pas to come out.
Just watch the Elvis movie. How ironic is that?
Can I tell you another time though? I was messing around on the PTO website to like look up someone's ranking. And when I did it, it like sent me down this thing where like, and that was when they hadn't announced the new ranking systems yet. But it sent me into this like new ranking system and like showed me all these new scores for everybody. And I was like, huh, that's weird. And I like wrote about it and they were like, oh, that wasn't supposed to be live yet. So I think they might have a website problem.
Who's their website designer? And are they still employed?
I think they just have like a, they must like mix up their test site and their like...
They need to hire me as their project manager.
There you go.
They don't understand their roles and responsibilities.
To be fair, they just need to hire some women to get it done.
But yeah, Sarah, so Vegas is what the thing was that Slow Twitch found. I think the announcements are coming soon. It should be actually pretty exciting.
They were meant to announce today the date when they're going to announce the series. It will be before the end of the month. There is a big launch announcement being planned, or there will be one. Most of the races, bar one, have been confirmed. And dates, there is one that they're just sort of waiting, which will be an additional one, so it's not the end of the world. It'll just be an extra bonus one, but they're just confirming dates on that. All the contracts have gone out, they've all been signed. I can tell you it's pretty impressive, the athletes racing, which is really interesting from that PTO series versus Ironman Pro series. So again, it'll be interesting to see who
does which one.
Double dips into both from the people that have signed on the PTO series.
So for the Ironman one, do you need a contract too?
Nope. Not officially, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was some underhand. I'm purely speculating.
No, I think what Ironman...
I wouldn't be surprised if there were some underhand payments going out to...
I'm sure there's appearance fees and stuff. Khadija, anyone can do the Ironman Pro races that is a pro. What I think Ironman is ultimately going to move towards, and they've said this isn't like a secret, is a like points qualification for world champs again. because then that'll get people, like, that'll essentially require people to do a certain number of races again. You know what I mean? So then, I know, Sarah's like, then you're just going to be caught in this, like, which one do you do?
Because people, I mean, there are people who would win races and then have to then race not, more. Yeah. I mean, so you have to empty the tank like 3 or 4 times a year.
When just I raced, race. That's ridiculous. Like halfway through, when I raced for 3 years, was when they started the point system that they then took back away, and now they're going to bring it back again. Okay,
so they're so like so. What they'll tell you is they're like, well, don't tell us you can't race 3 Ironmans and then go do Roth and go do 2 PTO races and then be like, oh, I right. They're like, seems like you can race if you want to, like, which I get. So. Yeah, but it's obviously like gonna be what's the word? There can only be one that survived.
I was surprised at the athletes that have signed with the PTO series.
I'm not, they're paying well.
Well, no, they are. No, totally. They are. They're paying and it's an incredibly good deal. But I was surprised there weren't more people that said no.
I was talking to one of the athletes last week who was like, people, I'm going to get my ass kicked. This isn't my distance, but like, who the fuck would say no to this? Like,
well, it's exactly,
a really good contract. Yeah.
Yeah. The they're getting given a contract over the year. There's prize money per races. And even if you came last in each of those races, you still are ending up very well off at the end of the year. Now, we've had the discussion, whereas like, are people then going to blag it and just like take the money, take the contract?
I'm sorry. Are they going to what?
Blag.
Blag it.
Everyone's like, what is that?
Okay, that's an English thing, obviously.
It's like sandbag. It's like sandbag.
Thank you. Sandbag. Like, are they going to just take the contract from PTO, sandbag through the year, and then still double up and do some other races? Which, yes, potentially they could. But if it's obvious, it probably means they won't get a contract for the following year. And obviously the contracts for the following year will be based on the ranking at the end of the year from that.
That's very optimistic that there are going to be contracts in 2025.
We have to look on
how much money do we know?
Like the Hunger Games. It feels like the Hunger Games. I just sit here and I watch and like, we're going to do this or we're going to do this too, but we're going to do it better. Then we're going to do this better, secretly better.
I had a conversation with somebody else today and I can't mention who. And I was just like, will you guys all just stop fucking fighting and wanting to stick a finger up at each other? Oh, like, yeah. Can we not just work together? Like, this is for the sport. This is for the athletes. And like, I don't care who's who. We just want, like, move forward in a positive direction. And then I'm like, am I the only one that's on this, like, this bandwagon?
It's like siblings who want the last piece of cake.
Yeah.
You know what I was like, though? We were at dinner and I was telling my husband some of the, you know, the amount of money they're getting paid. And I was like, man, I fucking quit like 3 or 4 years too early. Because sure, I would have gotten a PTO contract, but then those people won't do the Ironman Pro Series and Sarah can win all the Ironman Pro Series money. But then she won't show up to the races I would do. And then I can win the non-Ironman Pro Series money and it'll trickle down. It'll be great.
I'm really interested if that happens because that's hope, one of the dream. Things that the PTO have the commercial team have like said, like, if we put more money into this top tier, then everything else will trickle down. And I want to believe it. I just want to see it.
Right. I mean, it didn't
like
work
I want to see
Thatcher,
that
but...
it does impact everyone else as well. And I'm not saying like we're down to the, no offense to the 500th ranked pro or whatever. There's obviously a level of making it. Sure. But I do really want to see if the PTO series taking that top tier, the Ironman series taking those Ironman athletes, if it does allow those who are trying to come up and make it in the sport
give
to
them more opportunity.
But that's only race money, and we're not going to go into this topic. Sponsorship is another deal.
So Sarah was like, I was saying that didn't work for Thatcher or Reagan, and you were nodding, and I felt like you wanted to add something.
So let me ask this. Like, no. One of the things that I really liked about some of the PTO races was that they had an age group component to it. Well, some of these races have an age group component to it as well. Yeah, I liked that format.
That's
I really liked it.
Silently.
The multi-day. Yeah. And just the opportunity to see everyone race at every level.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the intended plan is to have age group races as well or other events that make it
Yeah, I would gladly do some of those over an Ironman race. Yeah.
Fair, do you feel like you're fully caught up now on all the hot gossip?
No, I mean, I know more.
Did like, you get a contract, Sarah?
What do you
we
know?
We talked about this last year.
I did not get a contract. So I have no idea what's happening. You just got to do your own thing, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you're focused on Placid, obviously.
Oh, well, clearly. Like, clearly. Because that's going to be our reunion. Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's true.
I can't get fussed about it.
And if your card's right, I'll let you see the van.
Okay.
The other thing that's interesting is like the athlete, the contracted athletes of the PTO, they have to do 5 out of the 8 events kind of thing, which includes the grand final. So it is, but it's going to be interesting to see who like picks where throughout the season. And yeah.
It sounds like you can definitely still do all 5 and focus on Nice, at least according to a few of the athletes I talked to. So that's nice. Because obviously after Placid, we're all going to Nice. So I want to make sure everyone's going to be there.
Yeah.
All right. But first, Khadija has her is support crewing for Ultraman Florida.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this? I thought that was in December. It? Yeah.
Oh, Florida's soon. Like,
yeah,
March?
I leave it. It's in 2 weeks. It's
even sooner. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I am the backup bike support because I'm really good with bikes. But my primary role is meals and recovery because I wouldn't even call myself a diabetic because I've been able to control everything with diet and exercise, but making sure that his breakfast is on point. As soon as he gets off the bike, he's got his aminos, goes into the protein, good meal, get him to bed with some magnesium, back up the next morning. So that's my, and right now I'm focusing on writing out the menu and making sure that who is number one for the bike is get the bike and all the equipment away from him, give him that first bottle of nutrition, and then get him back to the house. So that's my focus.
That's your responsibility is nutrition and recovery.
Yes.
What are other people's responsibilities?
Another friend of mine, Tom Shear, you might have seen pictures of him. He's been my Sherpa for my Ironmans. He's really good with bikes. So his responsibility is all things bikes, making sure that his bike is clean and ready to go the first day, get it off of him after the first day, making sure that everything is up to date. And then I think we ride the exact same grupo. So any extra parts that I have, any extra parts that he has, I told him we need to have 2 of everything just in case anything happens.
Wow.
We have 2 really good runners. They're going to be helping pace for the 52 mile run. I will do some pacing at the end when he's a little bit slower. He's running like 8-minute pace. So when he slows down to his 9-minute pace, then I'll be able to pace. And I could have helped with the open water swim, but I'm better with nutrition. We have another young lady who's into the marathon swimming. So she's going to be his kayaker. And I told him I would back up for that as well, because I did a lot of research for when I did the Alligator Lighthouse swim.
Oh, yeah.
But she's done a bunch of them, not just like been obsessed over one. So.
The entire time you were talking, Sarah was taking a tour through her house to like plug her computer in.
Is that what she was thinking?
And I was like, wow, Sarah's house is a lot bigger than I thought it was.
It really is not. You just got to see my feet or something. I don't know.
I was like, oh, bright light. Keep talking. Bright light.
I apologize.
I was listening.
It's crewing though. I mean, I've never done a race where like a crew is absolutely essential, where it wasn't just like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like, is it stressful?
To be the crew?
Yeah. I feel like it's stressful because my job, some of you may know, I'm an engineering project manager for the power company. So I'm constantly in my mind, this is the path that we should go, but what are all the things that could possibly go wrong? Or what are all the things that could possibly go better than we thought and we still have to readjust?
Right.
So, and I think a lot of people aren't, they have a big spreadsheet, but they're only thinking about the middle path. They're mm-hmm. not thinking about the deviation from one side to the other. So I jumped up and said, oh, you know, everybody needs to write down what they think their role and responsibility is.
Wow.
So that we're all on the same page.
This is amazing.
Go on, Kelly.
I was saying, well, I'm writing, one girl I know who is crewing for a friend's like 100 miler, she got like her, to your point, you made everyone write down what they think their role. She, their big first crew meeting, she said, you all need to be okay with taking orders from a woman because I am in charge.
It's a good point. Yeah. I would definitely say, so from my experience of crewing, I think it's great that you all have a role set out and make sure you're clear on that. And just be clear up front of like, just those, like obviously you can help each other in the roles, but kind of try and stay in your own lane in terms of what your responsibility is. Other things like make sure, have you got a van or cars?
Well, so have guy drives a truck. He drives a crew truck and I live in a van.
Yeah, Khadija has a very nice van.
So I would just say like whatever vehicle you're using for the race, like somebody's job is to clear that out at the end of the day and restock it with everything and make sure you got those snacks. On the food side, I'd also like, I'm assuming he'll have his race nutrition. Mm-hmm. Go get extras that aren't on that list because at some point he either won't want what he's meant to have and he might want something like, I'm
Taco
trying
Bell.
To think. Pickle juice.
Gummy bears? Like,
pickle juice or lint balls were amazing for deep, like that sort of thing that's completely not a nutrition.
Like
yeah,
lint
chocolate balls.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was another British thing.
Okay. So like just stuff like that. And I think also like the crew, it's really good to be super organized, but then you have to like know that the athletes, like a bit like you were saying, like the athlete is, they're kind of in charge from the fact that they're going to say stuff to you that you're just going to have to go, I'm going to let it go. Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to let it go. It's fine. It's all happy, smiling faces. And that's a little bit the same. Yeah. With the crew, but it sounds like you'd like totally sorted and got it all
you're
nailed
ready to
down.
Go. You're going to
need
this.
I think you've only met me twice, but I have a large family. So
well,
I'm all about flexibility.
I'm an engineer as well. So I get it on the organization and I can see that types of, from the family perspective.
You guys, you know how I'm doing my like first 100K or whatever. And like, so this is the first time I've like actually needed a crew. And I was just like, my husband is not going to be involved in that. Mm-hmm. That would be terrible. They would not going to go. Nope. So my mom is flying in to run.
Oh, fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I think that's like quite important as well. Like, I mean, it's I'm not saying your situation is, but like picking the right crew and it doesn't necessarily have to be a partner or a relation of yours if they're not going to be the, it's a hard conversation to have to say, can I come and support, but don't want you to be involved in the group? Because often that's more stressful for
the athlete
as well. And
I've had my husband be part of my crew, but not like the crew chief. It's like, you can just be there, smile and
you
look pretty, give me hugs, but this other person is in charge.
That's a good point. I would have like with your crew, you've probably all done this. So if you have, ignore me, have one member of the crew who's like the team lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if it does come down to any decisions like that one person. So for us, so I crewed for Dee Dee Griesbouwding Ultraman, but Julie Dibbins, the coach, she was our head. Like, so we all had our roles, we all knew what I was doing, but ultimately she had kind of that say. And our crew were all quite A-type personalities, so any of us could have done that job. But we were like, no, respect, she's in charge.
Right,
we listen, we do our jobs, we help each other out to do their jobs, but ultimately she's the lead.
His girlfriend is she's the final say. Yeah. And I like, for me, if I'm doing something like that, like when I needed a support person for Alligator Lighthouse, I needed somebody. I don't like to talk when I'm stressed out. And I knew I'd never swum that far in my life. I was like, I need somebody who's just gonna whack me with the paddle and say, stay straight. I don't want to talk. I don't want to, you know. So,
And
that's you also don't sometimes. Want somebody. See, my husband really is not going to be allowed to be involved. I feel like I'm making it sound like he doesn't even get to come. He's also his version of, you know, like you also want somebody who's like, when they tell you encouraging things, it's actually encouraging. His version is always like, she could slow down. the person ahead of you. Like, and you're like, and there's always like this long pause where he's like, just keep going. You don't know what'll happen. And you're like, oh.
Try to clean it up, Kelly.
So actually, it's actually a really good conversation to have. And it was something, again, I had with Dee Dee. I was like, on the run particularly, do you want me to count up the kilometers or down the kilometers?
Oh, interesting.
Oh yeah, that makes a difference. And I don't like distances. I just need destinations.
Well,
I don't
so
want
to
hear the distance.
So we were, well, at one point on the Queen K, there were these, they'd collected, you know, how, I don't know anyone who's been over there, they collect all the rubbish from the side of the Queen K and they put it in like orange bin garbage, trash cans, sorry, trash bags. And we were running up this hill and there were six of them. And because I knew Dee Dee wanted to count down, I was like, all right, we've got six to go. We've got five to go. Then that, rather than going, okay, this is one, this is two. And it was, right. And that wasn't distance and kilometers. It was just something at the side of the road. So, but that's a kind of a good, just ask them on more for the runners. Like, do you want encouragement counting down or counting up? Or do you want to do it from, do you want someone talking at you a lot? Do you want quiet? Do you want all of those sort of things that when it get to that end of the day? Yeah.
My best friend is, she's a really good runner. And I know my first half marathon, she's like, you're doing great. Only 10 more to go.
Like,
yeah, I had a
God
few
damn.
Choice words.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
No, shut up.
Yeah. Oh, you'll have you'll have such a good fun. It's really an awesome experience crewing. You're gonna love it.
Yeah, I'm excited, and he's a really good person, and I know this is something he's really been working hard for. So it was an honor for him to ask me. It felt good for him to ask me.
That's cool.
I would say you think the triathlon world is a unique bunch of people. The Ultraman yeah. world is next level.
I want to get off the Facebook group because the questions, which yes. degree is the sun coming up? I don't know. All degrees. Yeah.
It's a special group.
Interesting. Okay.
What angle will the sun be
at? Okay, well, I have the feeling that probably nobody in this crew is necessarily going to do an Ultraman, but our final random question is, who would be your crew chief if you were to do an Ultraman? Okay, Kelly's mom. That's my answer, too. I've never met your mom, but she's going to be my crew.
Right. I was like, you guys like all know about my mom, right? Like, I mean, she would definitely handle this, right?
Like, all right, who else? Who else has a crew chief in mind?
My 13-year-old daughter, Aaliyah, one of the twins. Because she's a boss, okay. And she knows me very well.
Love it.
Very yeah. cool. That's yeah. very cool. I would do my coach, Julie Dibbins. Yeah.
Jonathan's still thinking.
I'm still thinking because I really don't want to do one, but okay. Like, I feel like I would now pick Khadijah.
A good call.
That's good an amazing answer. Okay, yeah. I'm going to have Khadijah and Kelly's mom tag team. Well, thanks for listening to another week of If We Were Riding. Please send in your voicemails, especially if you were on the town hall today, because we all want the hot goss. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.